If you must blink, do it now. Pay careful attention to everything you see and hear, no matter how unusual it may seem. And please be warned, if you fidget, if you look away, if you forget any part of what I tell you, even for an instant, then our hero will surely perish.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen! And not a one of you is prepared for it!
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. How to unfold your life. I don't know how. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew. And tonight we're going to talk about probably the most recent movie we have ever talked about. In this case, it's 2016's Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, we are.
So, Drew, you had seen this movie before?
I had seen this movie before. More than once.
Jason, you have not. You had not.
I had not seen this movie before. That is a correct statement.
And so let me just... point out that after Jason pointed out last week that 2 weeks ago we talked about the movie Rope, and last week we talked about the movie whose name is an acronym for Twine. This week we're going to talk about Two Strings.
So next week we're going to talk about Floss?
Yeah, or maybe something about a wire.
Ah, wire. Bird on a Wire. That's a terrible Goldie Hawn Mel Gibson movie.
Perhaps some sort of zip tie thing.
The Zipline Adventures of Siegfried and Roy.
I'm not familiar with that work.
Neither are they. I made it up.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I suppose this is my movie pick. So, let me tell you. I went to see this movie in the theater with my daughter and my mother. And I fell asleep for a tiny bit of it. But it was, I thought, a beautiful movie. And while it had some issues that I think we're going to talk about, it made me feel, it gave me a little bit of the feels. So I think it was successful. Drew, let's talk to you first about what your first impression of this movie is.
I agree. This movie is beautiful. I loved the experience of watching it the first time. There were I was so immersed in it that there are a couple reveals that are probably pretty obvious, but I was so in the moment I wasn't even thinking about them, so they surprised me. I like this movie. The first time I watched it was at home with my oldest daughter. It was when my wife and my youngest were out of town, so when they came back into town, we loved it so much that we watched it with them. So this is at least the third time I've seen it, and I love it. It's probably my favorite Laika movie.
And the other Laika movies are?
Coraline was the other big one. I forget off the top of my head.
I think Box Trolls, or is that not That's a Laika
right.
movie?
Yep, no, you're right, that is.
And Paranorman.
Is Paranorman?
I know the director is director of...
Well, this is the best of all of those.
Laika Studios is local to me, so.
Oh, very cool.
It's a Beaverton, I believe. It's run by, co-founded by Phil Knight's son, Phil Knight of Nike fame.
That's the director, Travis Knight, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I think if this is not the first movie, this is the biggest movie he's directed, but he's been with the animation part of all of the other movies we just talked about.
Yeah.
So, Brother Jay, your first reaction.
All right. Where do I begin?
I can guess.
I mean, the animation was great. The story was okay. I had a problem with some of the story. I felt that perhaps it was cast a little colorblind. So that was a little distressing.
Oh, no, it wasn't colorblind. It was all one color.
Well, I think it was perhaps, I think it could have been cast a little bit better. But for the most part, I mean, it had some funny parts, it had some cute parts. It was really dark in a lot of parts, though, so I had a hard time with some of it.
It was really dark from the very beginning.
Yeah, so there was that. But then, and I was really trying not to hate it. And then they closed the movie with George Harrison's "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," and that absolutely undid the entire goodwill I'd had the previous hour and a half I'd watched the movie.
See, that's part of what gave me the feels.
Oh no, the song has nothing to do with the movie.
No, but it sounds really cool when you go.
There is no reason to have that song at the end of this movie. None. None.
Wait, a guitar-like instrument plays a very important role in this movie.
Yeah, it's a titular instrument.
Being that it's not an American guitar, being that it's not styled as an American guitar, being that it's not even created a song created by... Who created it? The Brits created the song. That's not even culturally relevant. So, appropriating a story...
But it was done in the style of... A Japanese lute or whatever?
Shamisen?
Shamisen knock you out.
I am sure there are many other songs that could have been better placed.
Okay, do you know what the other song was they were thinking of ending the movie with?
I'm sure it was equally as horrible.
Kung Fu Fighting.
That's slightly closer.
Okay, no, they were not.
That would have been a tonal shift.
Yeah. Well, it was a little bit frightening.
No, I like the song. I like that version of the song.
Me too.
I like the song. I think it has no place in this movie. I have no problem with the song. I like Fiona Apple quite a lot. I like the song quite a lot.
Fiona Apple?
It's Regina Spektor.
Sorry, Regina Spektor.
Who's Regina Spektor? I don't recognize her.
Oh, she's done lots of stuff. Fidelity... she has several albums out.
Is there a Regina Spektor song?
Ha 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 song.
Yeah.
We're singing a few bars.
I just did.
Yeah. the song is Fidelity, and I ruined it for Derek because I said she sounded like a goose honking. I hear in my mind all of these words. I hear in my mind all of this music. She has some really beautiful songs.
No relation to Phil Spector?
No.
I think she's part Russian or something.
She's very Russian. One of her albums is called Soviet Kitsch.
Okay.
She has quite a lot of albums, and she's very... her piano work is amazing. So, again, if you want to cry, listen to Samson. Samson is a song that will make you cry. It's beautiful. She's got a great voice.
Okay. So, about this particular song, though, While My Guitar Gently Weeps...
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody sing it without their voice breaking in that second part of the song?
Where they try and hit the high note?
Jeff Healy.
Jeff Healy did a great job. I love that version. It's my favorite version, I think.
Okay. Wait a second. Your greatest version of that song aside from George Harrison?
No. I think it's better
you
than
George
Harrison.
You prefer to George... Oh.
I mean, George Harrison is a simple version. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a classic.
I mean, it's so classic, you don't like it better than Jeff Healey's version.
Jeff Healey is a better guitarist than George Harrison was.
And I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why. Nobody told you. Shut your mouth. How to unfold your love. I don't know.
I mean, this just that's just the facts. And he interprets it. He interprets what is a very simple, very beautiful, likable song, like all Beatles songs are. All Beatles songs are pretty simple, pretty likable. Actually, all George Harrison songs are pretty simple and likable. I've got my mind set on you. I've got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. which is from, by the way, a, I believe that is a CD that your friend Brady ripped for me, not ripped, but recorded on a cassette for me that I played until the cassette fell apart. The Cloud Nine album.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate Jeff Healey couldn't cover all of them for you. So, but he's also dead. So
I was going to say, he, you know what? I would love to hear Jeff Healey's interpretation of The Devil's Radio.
Oh, I would have just gone for trying to have him do a cover of Tits on the Radio.
There you go. That'd be good. So you didn't like this movie, Brother Jay.
I didn't hate the movie. I just had some issues with the movie. It's a beautiful movie. The animation is spectacular. The story is good, but I had a problem with the characters.
Yeah, the casting.
The actors.
The casting was ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a problem with that. And once I figured out that it was Matthew McConaughey, that's all I could hear. And I was suffering so badly, I told Jesse, boyfriend Jesse, and he was like, damn you, now that's all I can hear. And I'm like, I'm not going to suffer alone.
Do you remember the moment when you figured it out? Because I do.
I think the second sentence that came out of his mouth.
Oh, no, it took me a while, even this time, for me to remember who it was. But you know who?
Nope.
I was in the theater looking at this funky, plucky, little Japanese chubby woman, cracking wise. And then I was, is this Brenda Vaccaro?
Suzanne Plachette, except
oh,
she's dead.
My God. Also, I mean, I do appreciate that nobody put a fake accent on.
Well, that's good.
I mean, well, Charlize Theron.
She did. But that's not her accent, though.
Well, okay, yeah. She didn't sound South African, but. And I didn't particularly. Well, we're nitpicking here. I definitely. Well, you may consider it more than nitpicking, I suppose. But I didn't like Matthew McConaughey's The Beetle character's character design. I don't like the flat face of the Beetle. I don't understand it. It looked like a toy.
It looked kind of tick-like.
It looked drawn on.
Yeah.
But yeah. Everything else didn't. Everything else was beautiful in 3D.
Well, he was a trapped character.
Yeah, I suppose. But he
was cursed.
But he wasn't a toy beetle. He was supposed to be like an actual beetle. So I didn't get that one part of his character was like a toy.
He's a pot-smoking, granola-eating, doesn't-shower, no-deodorant-wearing dude. That's what you get.
Well, he didn't do the animation.
No, but he had to record it in a sound studio somewhere.
Well, okay. Also, I never did get her voice, but I don't really care whether they say that it was Rooney Mara that played the sisters. I can't look at the sisters without thinking of...
Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, who would you cast as the sisters?
Who are you thinking of?
Margaret Cho.
Oh, that would have been good.
Just is Margaret Cho. If they had sleeve tattoos, that would be...
Oh, no.
I did not get that.
I like the fact that you used George Takei.
Yeah, George Takei was good.
And he got to say, oh my.
But I don't even know where to begin. Okay. I was trying to be okay with Charlize Theron. I was really not okay with Matthew McConaughey. But I think what finally was one of the final straws where I just divorced myself. And I like Ralph Fiennes as an actor very much. But again, why? Why was he cast?
Well, Moon King, M. This is all part of the Bond cinematic universe.
Oh, God. God help us all. Can we go back to Bond movies, please?
We are. next week is the last one, except for, I guess, the second to last one, but the last one of the consecutive series.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'll tell you
later.
You just
can't hide it.
I've already started it, and I'm really enjoying the first part of it. I am told that it does not get better.
I don't want to. I think you should lower expectations.
Yeah, I think I've been told that by several people now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's been years, but I don't recall it being good at all. But maybe I'm lowering expectations for myself.
So I love the opening scene of Kubo.
The big water scene?
Mm-hmm.
And the narration? I love the narration.
Yeah, yeah. It was dramatic. The water was beautiful. It was scary. It starts off really dark.
And never lightens up a whole lot.
No. I had to spend like the first 20 minutes of the movie trying to explain why that boy's grandfather took his eye.
Yeah, and we don't even know.
Nope.
Shall we dive into the plot?
Sure. The opening of the movie, stole his eye. That's a fucking dark opening.
Yeah.
Distant, non-responsive mother. Fucking dark. Oh. All right.
Well, of course, I thought traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, making him keep his father's robe on is a little creepy. So he can't stay out after dark, so that's part gremlin. And then his mother is a big allegory for mental illness.
I think his grandfather is an allegory for Alzheimer's.
Could be.
I mean, actually, I like the sweetness at the very end that was not expecting. How they would solve the grandfather's problems.
Yeah, the ending still weirds me out. I don't get it. I don't get it.
They killed him with kindness.
They didn't have to kill him.
No, yeah. But
it proves that you can do at the end of one's life what you can do at the beginning of one's life.
They showed mercy upon him and his soul.
My child thinks that she went to Egypt on a vacation because I told her so and produced pictures. She doesn't know any different. She will never know any different.
Except when she listens to this.
When people get... Yeah, okay, I'm actually kidding about that. But when she gets older, or when I get older, she can tell me that she took me to Egypt for Christmas to pay her back. And I will remember it fondly. For the same reason. But perhaps I'm trying to find deeper meaning than is really in here.
I think this is one of those kind of choose-your-own-adventure things where... Yeah, everybody takes their baggage on their own trip, so the destination's going to be different for everyone.
Okay, well, I'm going to express a little dumbness myself, because I had to look this up at a couple different sources today on my way home. After I got home, or maybe at stoplights on the way home. Why it's called Kubo and the Two Strings when there is no situation where he only has two strings.
No, the two strings are on his wrist.
I know.
The two strings are his mother and father.
Confusing?
No. It was not even veiled.
All three of the strings are Kubo at the end.
His mom and his dad.
Yeah, it's his hair. So it's Kubo and then the two others. I assume.
That would be Kubo and the three strings.
No. Because it's one string is Kubo, one is his mother, and one is his father.
Okay. Also, no? Another thing I looked up... No, you're probably right. The other thing I looked up, but I still think it's confusing. The other thing I looked up was whether this was an actual Japanese or Asian piece of like folklore. It is not.
Yeah.
Thank God.
It's entirely written and produced and directed by white dudes, right?
White dudes who make shoes or something. Whose dads made shoes.
Yeah. Que surprise.
But so, but still, I like the aesthetic. I think it's great. And I think the whole thing about like it being, stop motion and it having to do with origami. And I like the music in it when he plays his little music to make his origami dance. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I love the detail. I mean, just in the opening scene in the cave when he's like getting the rice out to feed his mother, that whole scene is beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's kind of paced like a Japanese movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so slow in the beginning.
Oh, it was great, and then there's like the big zoom out of so you can see the entire mountain. I loved it. It was amazing.
The fact that this movie was entirely or nearly entirely stop motion was pretty incredible to me. I'm like, how long did it take this movie to make? Like 5 years or something? A crazy amount of time.
Is that really how long it took?
I think so.
That's nuts.
Trivia. It took 19 months for the boat sequence to be shot. The skeleton demon is the largest stop motion puppet to be built, 16 feet tall. This is the largest, the longest stop motion film to date.
Yeah, it was in the credits.
Yep. Kubo had over 48 million possible facial expressions and a total of 23,187 prototype faces. So the director's commentary tells us that the film is an homage to Akira Kurosawa, and Hayao Miyazaki, and the Beatles. Because he has fond memories of the Beatles from his family.
Is there any other reference to the Beatles besides one of the characters is a Beatle and the credit song is a Beatles song?
Yeah. When he said he liked the Beatles, did he mean the Bugs or the group?
Jeez.
Just asking for a friend.
Okay. In some English language markets, the narration for the commercials only ever states the name of the film as Kubo, because it doesn't mention the two strings, because they would find it confusing.
Really playing to their audience, who was Eric.
Exactly.
So when Kubo did like his first origami story, did you think that all of those beats in the story would be mirrored throughout the movie? I did. I was wrong. I was extremely wrong.
Well, did you expect there to be a fire-breathing chicken?
Or equivalent. I expected there to be something that breathes fire.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I mean, okay, so I guess maybe because the three pieces of armor and weaponry were part of his quest, I guess I did expect there to be like a big fish and that kind of stuff. I thought the little eyeball things at the bottom of the lake were creepy.
There's a lot of creepy stuff in this movie.
I think having him have to stab the eye out was, especially because he had his own eye removed. I think it was just, it was an eye-centric movie.
Yeah, it's like that Grey's Anatomy thing. I remember being in a hotel room in Tacoma with my brother Jay, reading aloud, laughing from Spalding Gray's Grey's Anatomy. Because when he had the macular pucker, he thought it was his punishment for having in the monologues about him. He kept saying, I too much.
I go back and tell Renee what he said. She's very upset, but she's also excited because it means she can do research. It's going to give her some focus. She's very good at research. She wants to find the best macula scraper in town. I'm no good at research. I mean, what am I good at? I don't know. Going sitting at my desk and speculating on causes, sitting down with my notebook. What could have caused this thing? Because under no circumstances do I want it to happen to my right eye. So I'm sitting there thinking, it's my book. That's it. Impossible Vacation. Reading over and over that painful section about my mother's suicide. I mean, without properly mourning her or grieving her loss, I mean, it probably made me cry in one major way. My eye just exploded, one big tear. Then I thought, no, it's because I wrote it in the first person, the book. It was simply too much I. Then I thought, no, it's my left brain rebelling against my right, or vice versa, because I am dyslexic. Now, whenever I'd ask any of my New Age friends what they thought was going on, they would say, well, what is it you don't want to see? And I had lists. Then I thought it was my Oedipus complex, because the book, Impossible Vacation, was somewhat about that. I mean, not that I was consciously aware of ever wanting to sleep with my mother, but at the time that I was writing the book, I was reading Freud's essay on negation. And in that essay, Freud says, the denial of some state of affairs is the implicit acknowledgement of it. So that if a guy says he never wanted to sleep with his mother, the chances are he gave it some solid consideration. So I'm thinking now the unconscious part that gave it the solid consideration is now reaching up and scratching out my eyes one at a time, beginning with my left and feminine eye. So that's what I'm doing with my time.
I remember getting that same reaction as I'm laughing out loud while reading it. As Brother Jay is like, okay, here.
I just remember being super tired and ending up being sick. So
yeah, because we had overloaded on potatoes and Dunkin' Donuts.
And steak on a stick.
And steak on a steak.
Oh, man, I miss steak on a stick.
Oh. I only think it was good because we were starving. I don't think it would have actually been that good had we just sauntered in.
Oh, no, there's no sauntering. We barged in and said, we need food.
It still sounds amazing.
It was pretty amazing. We had Dunkin' Donuts afterward. We were both pretty sick. That's how we roll.
No, it was an experience. I mean, yeah.
That's where I found out that Denny's had bars.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, if you must blink, do it now. I like that he was a storyteller that couldn't ever come to the end of the story.
Yeah, I really liked his story.
Well, that's a good way to get your audience back. Captive audience.
Yeah, he really had like a tragic life. I mean, he was disfigured by his grandfather while he was an infant. And then he had to grow up in solitude, taking care of his mentally ill mother. And he had to go beg in the street, be a street performer to get some money.
You say begging, I say busking.
Sure.
If this was in Ireland, he would be a
broken-hearted Hoover fixer-sucker guy.
Yes. Also, no Ray Fiennes. Maybe they'd use his brother Joff.
That's hilarious.
I'm laughing on the inside.
I'm glad I got that clean edit. I can pull that out and use it later.
Whatever you need.
So back to the synopsis of the movie that Brother Jay hated.
I didn't hate it. I had problems with it. There's a difference.
It was pretty clear to everybody that the monkey was mom from the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, the same thing I said during Outbreak, I said during this, I blurted out, fucking monkeys.
No, it was not obvious to me. Obvious to me that it was the same voice, which is a very distinctive voice. But I was going in. I was riding with the movie. I was just, all right, magic. Magic's magic. It's the mother's magic. So I assume the monkey has a mother's voice.
I want to suggest that as soon as I saw snow, I thought maybe we're going to get some James Bond skiing, but no.
And maybe some baccarat.
Yeah. Sweevy, the sisters were creepy.
Yes, the sisters were creepy. And they started out at like 10.
Yes.
Like they just rolled up with maximum creep.
And the fact that he couldn't get his ancestors, his father's spirit, to float down the river. That was sad, but it took me too long to figure out why that was the case.
Me too.
Because his father wasn't dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a movie that didn't pull very many punches.
No, it did not. I love the scene inside the whale. That really was a mean monkey.
Oh, yeah. No, I really liked her performance as the monkey. It was great. And I liked his performance as Kubo. He was tough acting, but vulnerable.
And at least Kubo can run in a zigzag pattern.
I'm not getting it. I'm sorry. I should, but I'm not.
Evasion tactics.
No, that's a really, really obscure Game of Thrones reference.
I take Mr. Art Parkinson is no longer a member of the cast of the Game of Thrones.
He is sometimes. No, I won't even pretend. Nope.
Well, then Matthew McConaughey, in his actually probably his fattest role lately.
His voice sounded really familiar to me, but I could not place it until they got to the cave with the sword, and he jumped up and was like, I got this. That's when I was like, oh, okay. Now I know who it is.
He should have been driving a Lincoln.
Yeah, it wasn't when he was when he explained to Kubo that time was a flat circle.
No, no, I didn't even get it at that point.
Was that an Interstellar reference?
It's a True Detective.
Oh.
You should see True Detective. It's good stuff.
I have it. I haven't watched it yet. It's on the list.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's, you know, I haven't seen second season. I've heard mixed reviews.
Am I the only one that mixes it up?
Yes.
I feel like I'm the only one in the whole world.
But I do want to see it, although I want to see the first season again.
It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I love Colin Farrell. I think he's really good in when he's not like trying to be the leading man.
I know, and everybody shits on Love Actually, but I thought that was a great movie.
Never seen it.
Is Colin Farrell in Love Actually?
No, it's a Colin Firth reference, I think.
Okay.
Joke for one.
Yeah, it's okay. I tried to make a Colin Farrell reference last week, and it didn't work either time. I mean, Drew got it, but there's no acknowledgement. No nothing.
I don't even remember it.
I was in the background.
Yeah, maybe the joke's on you, Eric. Yeah,
I was like making all the Colin references because I couldn't think of his name. I think I said Colin Quinn and then Colin Farrell, but whatever.
Colin Quinn, Medicine Man.
Very nice, sort of, kind of. Sorry, it's a tough room.
Yeah.
Boom. Anyway, okay. So back to the synopsis of the movie that Jason hated.
I didn't hate it.
No, Jason hates children and children's movies, also monkeys.
Monkeys, I do.
Animation.
I have a dislike for monkeys.
And all Asians.
Oh, and don't forget McConaughey. He hates McConaughey.
Oh, he's a McConaughey-hater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we got, okay.
You know, sorry to interrupt you right when you started to get rolling again. it just reminded me. Oh, this story is going to really suck because I don't remember the details.
Oh, no. Hold on. Wait, you're stepping on my roll here.
I am, especially since it was about you. Anyway, something not very interesting happened. I don't remember what. Yada, yada. I ended the conversation by saying, it's okay. My brother loves puns.
God. Jeez. I do love puns.
It's funny because it's true. He can't resist a pun.
Well, that's the problem.
Even if it's terrible and sitting there, it's just a big turd of a stinker. He can't resist it.
But, okay, tell me you can resist it.
I can resist it.
It just doesn't call out to you?
No. I live with Dad. Are you kidding? Dad drove puns into the ground like he was drilling for oil.
I'm not going to use the Jackie Cation thing, although I do every time, about sentencing him to the penitentiary.
You weren't going to use the one you just mentioned? I was very slick there.
Yeah, I'm not a professional comedian.
So, luckily, we don't have that. We don't have the burden of being professional.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, you know what else we don't have the burden of? Remember those crazy big numbers you were getting last month?
They cratered out?
Fear not. That is not a trend.
We got one new listener in my household.
Excellent. That listener needs to download more episodes.
Is that your lovely wife?
Yes, she actually listened to an entire episode on her own.
Unbidden?
Oh, which one?
The last one.
You know, I still have to go resurrect that story that I lopped off the end of it because I had forgot that it existed.
She jumped in at The World Is Not Enough?
Yes.
Oh dear!
She had watched the first part of the movie with me, and she enjoyed it. And then I also told her that I told a story about her using an inappropriate emoji on the podcast. So she listened to it, waiting for that story,
which never materialized.
So then I had to have a talk with her about how it's an editorial dictatorship.
It is true.
but we're all happy with.
Yeah. Well, no, it's okay. I will. I was shamed into seeing if I can resurrect it.
No need.
No, let me tell you. So this, I want to say shuttlecock, the Shuttle Pro version 2, the little gadget that, as it turns out, I don't really need the shuttle part of it. The jog controller and the shuttle wheel in the middle.
You just need the cock part.
Well, yeah.
I love it when he loses his shit at his own joke. That's the best.
What I really need, what I can really week. Use, in fact, what I think I will do to add on to it is there's a Logitech device called the G13, which is basically 25 programmable buttons and a thumb wheel thing.
Oh, I know to what you refer.
Yeah, because it's like $50 or something. Really, all I need is those buttons. Those buttons are gold. Because it turns out the time you save, like taking your mouse and pulling down a pull down menu and then scrolling through what you want and clicking on it and hitting OK, if you can do that all in one button, that's a happy thing for me.
It's like you're streamlined.
Yeah, and 15 buttons turned out to be not nearly enough. So what I really would need is like a big bank of like 64 or 48 buttons, because they make such a thing. I think it's called X keys, where it's like a grid of 48. Plus you can buy some things that will turn it, like they're like things, so you can make like a big button for enter or a big four button for something or other. And there's also some versions of the similar thing that have different colors, different background colors, depending on what, you know, so you can categorize your thing by color. They also have ones.
You can't use like keyboard shortcuts or.
You can, but keyboard shortcuts aren't nearly as cool as having a gadget that has all the keyboard shortcuts programmed into it.
So as opposed to having to have a series of keys, you just push one key and it has all of that. So it's like, the difference between writing, handwriting, and just typing.
Also, if I had, like you can buy a keyboard or a keyboard overlay for your own keyboard, especially with Macs, it's a big thing, where you can buy like a keyboard overlay for your Mac that has all of the, like Adobe Photoshop keyboard shortcuts already pre-printed on it. So that would be cool. But if I could take like a label maker and put labels on all the function keys, that would be okay too. But it wouldn't be as cool as having the G13 there with 25 programmable buttons, which I think you can actually, if I remember correctly, you could actually do like some sort of shift combination. So you could turn it into like 70 something combinations of buttons. But anyway, again, I always overbuy technology, but I'm really enjoying having that as a tool in my arsenal. And the more expensive versions of it have like a battery, and so they carry all their internal memory with them. So you just unplug it, and if you go to like a computer at work or another laptop or something, you just plug it right in and you're good to go. It's all set to go. The Shuttle Pro, though, actually changes all its configurations per program if you want. Like, you can open Audacity, and all the buttons will do one thing. But if you open up Photoshop, all the buttons will do something entirely different. And if you open up, like, Sony Vegas Video Editor or whatever, it'll do a whole bunch of stuff. So it's really for the jog wheel is really good for video editing, not so much for audio editing. Anyway, this ad is over, but if you have $100 to spend and you're looking for only Audacity, maybe find yourself a thing with more function keys and less jog wheel.
Yeah, so Kubo's mother dies.
Yes.
And the beetle emblem on his robe sprouts wings and flies him away.
Yes, his mother has this a confrontation with her sisters, as it turns out.
A not so happy reunion.
Yeah.
Not so happy reunion.
Kind of like a Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of thing.
Sure.
Without the Force.
Or the droids.
Well, there's magic.
Yeah. And there's the monkey instead of C-3PO, right?
Fucking monkeys.
And the Beetle instead of R2-D2? Or is is the Beetle really Han Solo?
I thought it was heartbreaking when Kubo was desperately reaching out for his mother and only got one strand of her hair as he was flying away. Which turned out to be very important.
Yes. And I like the fact that the mother made it into a little bracelet for him. That's very cute. And I like the fact that, I like the fact that the monkey, I like the whole monkey's attitude. The monkey is, yeah. I'm here to help you, I'm here to protect you, but I'm not here necessarily as your friend.
Definitely not.
And I like the fact that I liked actually all of the origami throughout the entire movie. I like the little Hanzo guy. I like the birds that turned into mosquitoes.
I like the quip from the monkey that she didn't think the little Hanzo guy really counted as origami.
I like that too.
She was sure there were some cuts in there somewhere.
So, you didn't like Ralph Fiennes as the Moon King?
I didn't hate him. I just thought that, again, I thought this was miscast. So
You know what? Frankly, I agree. Although I think Charlize Theron did a great job. Turns out I'm kind of a fan of hers, and everybody else was fine. But yeah, I don't think they were necessary.
Does he really go by Ralph Fiennes or does he go by Ralph Fiennes?
No, it's Rafe. He goes by Rafe.
It's Rafe.
Yeah, and his brother, whose name is Joseph, but I must call him Joff.
Oh, I get it. I see. I was not. I did not catch that joke. I'm apparently slow in the uptake.
Rooney Mara? Nah.
Eh.
I mean, she and Ralph Fiennes and, I don't know. I thought Brenda Vaccaro actually did a really good job. But she was Brenda Vaccaro, though.
I think everybody did a good job. I mean, if, you know, you can be upset that they didn't cast, you know, culturally appropriate voices, but I think the voices they did cast did a good job.
No, I agree with that. I don't think they did terrible jobs. My problem wasn't with them. It's just my problem was with the casting.
Yeah. Yeah, because really, it's not so much, it's not so much whitewashing an Asian story. It's more like culturally appropriating Asian culture. It's a very hot topic these days. We come from America. Cultural appropriation is what we do.
America, fuck yeah.
So, you know anybody in Guam?
If I did, I would tell them to get the hell out.
Yeah, seems like Guam isn't the place to be. Also, I mean, I know Drew knows people in the Korean Peninsula.
Yes.
Seems like it would be a very nervous time there, too.
Actually, you know who it's really nervous time for right now? The people in Alaska?
No, not really.
Closest to the shore.
Well, I guess if you're on the Aleutians, but even then, Guam is so much closer and a stated target.
Yeah, my wife has, her company has projects in Wake Island.
I assume that's somewhere in the Guam, Philippines area.
In the neighborhood, I believe.
But our dear leader today was happy that Putin expelled a bunch of diplomats because, quote, it helps us save on payroll.
Our dear leader, I want to think he's just joking.
I think he's just senile and crazy.
Yeah. I think he... I realize that I am on the left side of the political spectrum.
No.
But much like John Lovett, not John Lovitz, but John Lovett, I think our president's just a batty old racist. No, I could be wrong.
I think he's just old and senile. I think he's turned into senile old man.
But I don't think he was, I don't think he's like, you know, like senility kind of implies that there was a lot going on beforehand.
Nah, he's always played dementia. This role.
I mean, even
I think maybe he doesn't realize he's not on TV anymore.
even before he was on TV like that, he was a, he was just this kind of person, I think. Dr. Winters would say that it's, it would be unethical to try to diagnose somebody who you've never met.
Oh, lots of people are doing it right now. Are you kidding?
Yeah. When I find myself rooting for Mitch McConnell, I know something is wrong. Anyway, so sorry, back to Kubo journey. Oh my goodness. Okay. So let's get back to Kubo. I don't know. Are we already to the point of, because we kind of talked about the end already. The end did give me the feels.
We skipped meeting the beetle.
That's true. We met the beetle.
We skipped the giant sword head skeleton.
Yeah. That was scary.
Which was amazing. It's a great scene.
To me, this wasn't really a kid's movie.
No. I mean, My oldest was she was either almost five or five when we watched it, and it was probably a little rough for her. She loved it.
Well, I imagine a lot of it's over their head, and the humor is going to go past them completely.
Yeah, but you need the humor for the tension relief.
But I don't know that little kids are going to understand some of the humor.
That's okay. Kids movie, the best kids movies are like that.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few jokes that were definitely for the grown-ups. No, I thought that was fine.
Oh, my.
I love George Takei.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Yeah, I mean, and, okay, how about this? The color palette. I love the color palette in this movie. This movie is very colorful. And it's got, like, a rich... Like, when the movie is red, like, in the demon skeleton thingy? When it's red, it is rich, deep red.
It was almost comic booky.
When it is black and blue, it's really black and blue, like when the sisters are around.
Oh, the autumn leaf boat was beautiful.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Absolutely. Even, I mean, it had everything. It had archery, big bugs, it had water sports,
stabbing eyes.
It had, yeah, a lot of eyes.
It had a brutal fight between a monkey and a witch.
And a brutal fight between a child and a giant sky dragon. Who also stabbed him in the eye. A lot of eye injury in this movie.
Yeah, it had a really touching moment when a father and son were reunited. And the father promised to keep him safe moments before he was murdered.
Yes. Yes. Comic relief to the bitter end.
Yeah. I loved Kubo's magic. I mean, I love the way that was realized with the little Japanese guitar.
Yeah.
And I love that it was connected to his emotional state as well. There's a little bit of Hulk in him that the more upset he got, the more powerful he was.
Yeah. And I like the was anybody disappointed at the end when the real Hanzo didn't look like Matthew McConaughey?
No, I was not.
Because the mother didn't look like Charlize Theron either, so, you know.
No.
And Kubo didn't look anything like Art Parkinson or whatever.
Yeah. I'm still weirded out by the end. The village seems to be very accepting of this new grandfather who destroyed their village and I'm guessing at least murdered some people.
Oh yeah.
People died, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get kind of the impression that a lot of those little lanterns in the river may have been directly the result of grandpa.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I did notice that grandpa's good eye was the eye that Kubo was missing.
Oh, I did not notice that, but that makes sense.
Yep.
Still dark.
Oh, yeah. Super dark.
Still dark.
It would have been darker if Kubo had snatched the eye back.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that kind of movie. Now, for Kubo 2...
Electric Boogaloo.
I was just about to say, I like that this movie is like a standalone story and not set up for a sequel.
Because, you know, in Kubo 2, he's got to fall in love with the girl who only has one ear or something.
Elektra?
There you go. Okay. It took me a second.
Well done.
Yes, from Twine.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Oh, she could be one of those string aestheticians, right?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. We're writing it now. Be great.
I'm perfectly comfortable with the Kubo saga ending with the first movie.
Yeah. Or maybe Kubo can meet up with Coraline.
No.
Mm-mm. There was a bunch of eye stuff in Coraline, wasn't there?
Yeah. Jason, have you seen Coraline?
No.
I found Coraline to be way creepier than Kubo.
We're going to have to put that on the calendar.
Like, I think that's a genuinely scary movie.
Oh, you should put it on the calendar for next week, so that way we can have me cranky 2 weeks in a row.
Was Coraline, was that like a Neil Gaiman? What am I thinking of?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
But yeah, it was on one of the movie channels when we were flipping around, and my children wanted to watch it because it was a cartoon. I was like, nope. This is definitely not appropriate.
This movie didn't make money.
Kubo didn't?
Well, that's what I read about Leica films, is that they're not super concerned, maybe, with the overall profitability of it. Like, that's not their primary concern.
They budgeted $60 million and they made $47 million.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
I wish my budget could be that unconcerned.
Is that just domestic or is that worldwide?
I'm guessing that's just domestic.
This movie did not win the Oscar for Best Animated Picture.
Who did that year?
Zootopia.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I think I was hoping for Kubo, but it was against Big Hero 6 too, right?
No, that was a few years ago. It was against Zootopia and Moana.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Moana was pretty good, too. Have you seen Moana? Oh, yeah, you have. Yeah.
You're asking me or Jason?
Oh, I'm asking you. Surely you.
Yeah. He already knows the answer for me.
Yeah,
I've seen Moana about 64 times.
Yeah. And there's no reason for Jason to see Moana. I mean, it's fine, but it's not. Yeah, you don't have to see it.
I've heard that stupid fucking song a million billion times. Are you kidding?
The You're Welcome song or the
I don't know. Girl song. It just comes up on my Pandora and I can't thumbs down it fast enough.
Oh, okay. It's not the You're Welcome song.
It's just like being stabbed in the brain with an ice pick over and over and over.
I love that song.
What's it called?
How Far I'll Go.
Oh, there you go. Yes. I was gonna say My Heart Will Go On, but that's a whole different song. Different movie.
Top of the World.
Okay, worldwide, by the way, Kubo made $69.9 million.
Still, that's pretty lackluster.
It eked out its budget.
Yeah.
I found out what some of the I shouldn't have been a stunning revelation, but somehow it was. You know, some of the advertising budget, when it talks about how the advertising budget is probably almost as much as the movie budget itself. And I'm thinking, well, how does that even work? But part of it is junkets. We need to watch America's Sweethearts, because I love that movie for two reasons. And one of it is that it takes place during a junket. Yeah, so they were like, I heard an interview on Alison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend with Chris Frangiola. And he talks about how he was flown to London for a couple different premieres, and they put him up in a really nice hotel, and they have like stuff for you to do besides just do your job, which is to go into a hotel room and interview Tom Hanks for 5 minutes or Tom Cruise for 5 minutes or whatever, asking the same questions that they're getting all week long. But they wine you and they dine you and they fly you over to someplace exotic like London. I guess maybe exotic, so you know, cosmopolitan. Huh?
So the movies give the first class treatment to the reporters in the hopes that they'll get a good story.
Exactly. And we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of reporters at various times. So, I mean, that adds up. Okay, so verdict. Brother Jay?
It was okay. Give it a C plus, B minus.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
I love this movie. I think we have not, we've done it a disservice with this podcast. I love it.
I may actually pull this quote and put it in the beginning of the episode.
You should make that the opening music.
I really like the story. The visuals are amazing. It had an emotional impact on me. It's rewatchable. I've seen it at least three times now. And it's still quite enjoyable. In fact, I think the rest of my family is watching it at this very moment.
You know, as I think all good family movies should do, it gives you all the emotions. It gives you opportunity to have all the emotions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really dark story, but there's enough light and levity to it that young kids can enjoy it too. Some of the scary stuff is a little much, but it for the most part, it doesn't last too long at any one time. But yeah, Charlize Theron was really good. The kid was better than I expected him to be once I figured out who it was. And I liked everything. I thought it had a fantastic beginning. It just really, really grabs you. And the end, I thought, was not only visually beautiful, but also pretty sweet and pretty lighthearted for such a dark movie.
But still kind of thinky.
Yeah, no, I still am a little weirded out by the direction it went at the end. Not in a bad way, just every time. It even though I know it's coming, it's still an unexpected way to go. And so for the, you know, although we may have done a disservice to the movie, I'm glad we didn't really talk too much about, you know, the specifics of the ending. But yeah, I definitely think it's worth your time. If you have not seen this movie, you should go check it out. You are missing out on something great.
100% agree. If you don't like this movie and give it well into the B-plus range, you have no soul.
No, I'm comfortable with that.
Also, I took way too long last week defending, even though it wasn't very long at all, but way too long defending how the Emoji Movie didn't suck.
Have you gone to see it now?
No, I've seen it. I saw it before. I saw it before we talked about it. Yeah, I thought it was just fine. That was 100% just fine. Not great, just fine. Not worthy of burning the whole place down. But compared to Kubo, it was like, it was horrible. It was a commercial.
I have a hard time believing that anybody going into that movie has any expectation that it's any good.
Well, that's the thing. You guys were trying to convince me of that last week about how it doesn't matter what the reviews are. You're either going to see the Adam Sandler movie or you're not going to see the Adam Sandler movie. You either think the Emoji Movie looks interesting or you don't. And I was trying to take the other side of that argument and not successful.
That's because you're wrong.
Yeah, well, it turns out. Yeah, and this movie has everything to recommend it. Now, granted, like I said, there are issues, and I agree with you, Brother Jay, I really do. As I was sitting there realizing that almost none of the characters were Asian, and it's a story set in Asia.
Yeah, written by white people.
Yeah, but again, at a certain point, come on, it's a beautiful story, beautifully told. With fine, fine craftsmanship. And if one thing that the Brothers Anderson love in a movie, it's how beautiful the movie is.
True. I don't deny that. Again, it's beautiful.
This is to animated movies what Children of Men is to science fiction movies.
Hear, hear.
We know how much I loved that movie.
Yeah, so.
I'm sensing a theme.
Okay. So, I'm sorry for the disservice, Drew, but... Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts, dial it already.